All right, then I'll go forward with the things that the Lord has placed on my heart today. And knowing and understanding that we all have full bellies, I'll try to be as timely as possible in a way that would still be pleasing to the Lord. I would like to say for all of those who pitched in this morning to bring breakfast that it does not go unnoticed or unappreciated. I'm sure all of us speak in great gratitude for the meal that we were able to enjoy. It's not very often that we eat before church, and depending on how their service goes, we may never do it again. But I'm glad that we had the opportunity to come together and enjoy each other's company. And I'm very grateful for that. I talked a little bit to some of the brothers in the back of the church, and Brother Tom entered in on me this morning, kind of in my pre-game meltdown, if you will. I'm up in the pulpit trying to gather my thoughts and get in touch with the Lord and meditate on the things that he'd have for me to say today. And as from a pastor's perspective, because it's Christmas Eve, changes nothing about the way that I try to approach the Lord and the belief that he can give me whatever is needful for today, and I still need his help. And I know that many of us are probably kind of already on vacation. It's Christmas time, and we've had breakfast before, and this is just supposed to be where we come in and hear the Christmas story and leave. And I imagine it's going to be very different than that, maybe different than our expectations. But nevertheless, all I really hope to accomplish is that the Lord's pleased with our efforts today. And I think that's all that any of us could ever hope for. Well, I want you to go ahead and start turning with me into the Gospel according to John. We're going to be in the 16th chapter, and I'll go ahead and have you start turning there as we kind of set up the message as the way the Lord has given to us. As I've already made mention of, and as you can tell by many of the decorations around us and by things that are on television and things that are on the radio, it's Christmas time. And for a lot of us, that incites a lot of enjoyment, a lot of cheer, a lot of happiness. And Christmas is a very happy time, at least it is for me, as I hope it is for all of you. And Christmas to me represents so much, and I'm afraid that oftentimes, as I've made mention in the last few weeks, that maybe we as God's children become a little too engulfed in the commercialism that has become Christmas and not too focused on the true aspects of Christmas and what it represents and what it means and what we celebrate. And so for many people, Christmas means different things and the things that they look forward to the most. And I know that many of the things that we kind of look forward to and we think about, and it may seem very odd and it may seem very small to other people, but sometimes, and if you don't know anybody that really loves Christmas, sometimes people really love Christmas and they really love oddities of Christmas that maybe nobody else really likes. Some people like particular Christmas movies. Some people like Christmas lights, and some people like going and having parties, and some people like going and hopefully giving charitably to those that are in need and those that are homeless. And we have all of these expectations, and I feel like a lot of times we have a lot of traditions built up about what Christmas looks like in our household. And it may be something very small, and it may be something very well thought out, but I'll say just for me, one of the things I love about Christmas the most is Christmas music. I love Christmas music, and I listen to it all the time. And to me, there's never a point where it's too early to listen to Christmas music. Now, I know people disagree, and I totally respect that. I feel like I have it under control. I typically only start listening to Christmas music somewhere around, give or take the entire year, and I never take a break from it, and I love it, and people get on to me, and they'll hear it playing in my office, and it'll be the middle of June, and I'm playing Christmas music. People lose their minds about it. I love Christmas music, and I could listen to it all the time. Now, there are basically two genres of Christmas music. You have the very religious carols, the things that we find in our hymn books, and then we have very secular Christmas music. Now, I'm a fan of both, but I really like those and hopefully would bring and incite information to us that would bring back to our memory what the season is truly all about. And when you look at Christmas songs and you look at Christmas carols, a lot of what's being said is a beautiful rendition about the glory and the majesty and the greatness of Christmas and what it truly represents. And oftentimes we just sing it out of habit. So as I'm listening to Christmas music over the last 6, 7, 8, 10 months, and I'm trying to get myself ready for Christmas, there was one song that came to me, and I was listening to it just through Pandora, through my earbuds at work. And this song came on, and I know that it is a non-religious song, but there was some line in that song that really leapt out to me, and I thought, wow, I've never taken it that way before. Now, this song, many of you probably know, it's entitled, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." This song was written in 1963, originally recorded by, I believe, Andy Williams. It was on his 1963 White Christmas album. It was really not even intended to be a big hit. It was kind of just something to fill space on the album, and it ended up turning into a very big hit of itself. Now, if you've never heard "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year," then maybe you don't know exactly what the context of the song is, but basically what it does is it goes through a rendition of these Christmas kind of traditions or Christmas times gone past and kind of the things that we enjoy to do together and the activities that we do together. Now, some of them are very normal and some of them are, in my opinion, very abnormal. Now, obviously, hosting parties around Christmas time, that's very normal. Having family over, having to travel, being out in bad weather that we might be even later today, singing Christmas carols and sledding in the snow and for some reason, apparently, they used to tell ghost stories on Christmas. At least that's what the song says. I've never quite understood that. But it's about these activities that we look forward to around Christmas time. And when people hear it, they oftentimes are reminded in their own minds about things that they've done at Christmases past that bring back all these good memories. But in one line of the song, it says, "Everyone telling you, be of good cheer, because it's the most wonderful time of the year." Now, I'll say this about being of good cheer, is that there's a lot of things about Christmas that should make us cheerful, and yet I see a lot of people around Christmas that are not cheerful. And that includes even some of God's people. And so I want to look at one verse today that the Lord has kind of brought to our minds, and I want to kind of look over it today and expound upon it as the Lord would see fit that it might be able to touch our hearts. And that's found in John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 16, and verse 33, one verse. One verse in this chapter. Now, Christ doing the talking here, speaking, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." To me, that one verse is very powerful, and it's very meaningful. And although when you think about Christmas Eve sermons, and you think about things that come around Christmas, everybody wants to go straight to the birth of Christ and kind of recite those couple of chapters in the Gospels. But I think this is something that is so needful for us today, so applicable, and it's been burdening my heart about this one verse about something that Christ Jesus is telling to us that John recorded. I want you to understand when he says, "Be of good cheer," that's a command. It's not just good instruction. He's not just giving you maybe his ideas. He's not just giving you maybe something that would be good to live by. He is commanding us as the children of God that we should be of good cheer. Now, I want you to understand that that's not always easy to do. Sometimes that can be difficult. Now, listen, just because God has told us to do something doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But if he has gone through the trouble of saying it then and recording it and intending for it to be recorded down for us, he knew that it would be something that we would need to be mindful of and be reminded of and be instructed of, because we likely were going to fail at it at one point or another. Here's what I want you to know about Christmas time, is that Lindsay and I had to go out yesterday, and I had to go out Friday and do a little bit of shopping. And I want you to know that when you go out into stores a couple of days before Christmas, cheer is not always the word that best describes the people you come in contact with. I don't know about you, but I'm going into places and people are fighting over each other. And they're cutting line and they're being ugly and they're being mean. And they're, you know, everybody's so focused and stressed out. You've got all that last minute shopping. Lindsay and I were listening to the radio yesterday, and it was talking about this local jewelry store. And I don't remember which one it was, but it was talking about how they're having basically a desperation sale for all those husbands who forgot to shop for their wives up until now. And you can even come on Sunday on Christmas Eve, and we're going to be open from these hours so you can come. And at the end of that advertisement, it says, "And if anybody asks, we'll swear you bought it in August." And what we find here is just this mentality of getting right down to the Christmas season, and it really becomes more stressful than it does become enjoyable. Everybody's so worried about where they're going to be and who's coming to their house and how much food they have to make and how many presents they have to buy and trying to coordinate this, that, and another, and worrying about the weather and traveling and trying to buy the right gift and spending enough time and not just buying someone a gift card but making it look like you really care about someone. And we have forgotten almost wholly, totally, completely what Christmas is all about. We don't go talking about the world. I know they don't know what Christmas is all about. That's because they don't know the one that Christmas is all about. But we do know the one that Christmas is all about. In this verse, Christ talks about how that you will have tribulation. you will have trouble. Now, when I think about Christmas time, I don't know what Christ was respecting or what he was talking about in tribulation, but I know for me and myself, sometimes just spending time with my family can be tribulation in and of itself. I know that there are aspects of Christmas that maybe people don't look forward to. I don't prefer to travel that much, but sometimes I have to. I don't prefer to be busy right up until Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, but sometimes we feel like we have to. We are trying to coordinate everything, and we become so stressed that we have forgotten what it means not only for us to be cheerful, but to incite joy and cheerfulness in others during this sacred of all seasons. Not only when you go out do you see other people not being happy, a lot of times you'll sink into that same slump and you'll become one of them if you're not careful. You'll get aggravated. You'll get stressed out. You'll start fighting people. You'll start trying to get overstressed and overworked. And before you know it, you can't even remember why Christmas was so exciting to begin with. Lindsay and I were talking, and I'm using her a lot as an example today. I hope she doesn't mind. That's kind of one of the benefits comes of being the pastor's wife. But we've talked about how when we get older, it seems like some of the majesty and magic of Christmas disappears. And I said, well, you know, there's probably a lot of things to lead to that. She said, well, part of it is just the stress. Now you're having to do a lot more of the work rather than getting to enjoy it. And I said then, and I hope she remembers this, but I remember saying then that I feel like a lot of that is brought on ourselves. We make Christmas to be something that it doesn't have to be. It's intended to be a joyous time, a celebratory time, a time of reflection, a time of celebration, a time of lifting praise because of the one who came and was born so that the plan of salvation might be solidified, so that you and I can have eternal life. That's what Christmas is all about. Amen. It's not about going to 15 different family get-togethers. It's not about all the presents. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about all these movies and light displays and all the music. All those things are fine, but it's not the meaning of Christmas. And then we find oftentimes that after Christmas is over, we have this immediate letdown. We have this kind of just blue flu that comes over us where we're just kind of upset and we kind of like to pout around for a few days. Many of us don't even take down our Christmas decorations for a few weeks in hopes that it will incite some more of that joy. I want you to know what happens is the reason when Christmas gets over and you lose all your joy and happiness is because it was placed in the wrong place to begin with. Because you weren't focused on Christmas at all. You were just focused on the aspects and the traditions that surround a secular holiday that many of us have adopted. I'll say this about being joyful and being cheerful. I believe that Christ knew it would not always be easy for us. But I believe in this passage of Scripture, there's no doubt in my mind, he's talking to saved people. And here's why I say this. If you're here today and lost, Christmas likely does not mean as much to you as it ever could as if you knew the Lord and the free pardon of sin. Why? Because you can't know real joy unless you know the joy that only God can give. You don't know what cheerfulness is until you've been filled with His cheer. You can't know what peace is. You can't know what joy unspeakable and full of glory is if you don't know Him. So this morning, I'm telling you, to all of you that are lost, you may think that Christmas is a joyous time, but you are only celebrating, you are only enjoying the carnal aspects of it. You're never getting to get to the deep root of what Christmas is all about. You can't even celebrate this holiday because you don't know the one that it's all about. But for us that are saved, He is speaking directly to us. And He makes a couple of statements with a few caveats that I really want us to focus our minds on. So let's break down that verse, and then hopefully in just a few moments I'll be done. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Let me tell you something about what Christmas is all about. It's about peace. And I'm not talking just about a silent night. I'm not a peace that talks about it's a calming of geopolitical wars. It's not just a peace that someone incites or a greeting that someone gives to you. The true peace of the season is the peace that only God can give when He regenerates your soul. That's peace. And there is no peace without that peace. Peace is not the absence of conflict or the taking away of hardships or trials. It is the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. That's what peace is. And so what he's saying here is that I have said these things to you after he's given this discourse so that you might have peace in me. The whole purpose of Christ coming and living this life, laying down the glory that he had, freely, willingly coming to this earth, not bringing anything with him, although it was deserved and he could have. He came empty-handed. He came and took on the flesh of man, although I'm sure despised and despicable in his own eyes. Freely coming and living, and was tempted as a man, was tested as a man. He had to endure all the things of the flesh for the season, but it was for a very specific purpose. It wasn't just because he wanted to. It wasn't just because necessarily it was a necessity. He knew that without him paying that price, no one could pay that price. There never would have been a cross without a cradle. We never could have fully understood the plan of salvation had he never come and be born of that virgin. For the scripture tells us, even in the Old Testament, in the prophecies, how that he would come being born of a virgin. Every aspect of his birth was a fulfillment of the prophecies about the Messiah. It amazes me even still to this day that people don't recognize Christ as the Messiah, because not only did he look like him, listen, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Listen, he didn't just look and quack like a duck. I want you to know, every single aspect he fulfilled. There's no question in my mind that he was and is still the one true only Messiah. He came to be born of a woman, not just so that he could come and live and then die and that be the end of it. He came for a very specific purpose, that he might fulfill the things that we could not. He goes on after that and he says, in this world you may have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have tribulation. Now, I made a little slight about spending time with family earlier, but tribulation in this walk of life is a very real thing. Trials and valleys and hardships and loss, all of these things are very real aspects of your life. And if you're here today, and I always like to bring a caveat with any message, because I know that by and large, a majority, we are a young congregation. And I want to speak to some of you young people today, because you may not, up until this point in your life, ever experienced a true trial. Maybe you've never seen anything truly bad in your life. Maybe you've never been through a really low valley. But I want you to know that in whatever you face, old and young alike, the only thing that you can find, the only peace that is available, the only joy and cheerfulness that can maintain through that is your relationship with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if you're here today and you're born again child of God, Christmas should be a time of celebration, not just about the birth of Jesus Christ, but about the gift of God that you have received. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, I believe it is, tells us that it is the gift of God. It's not just something given out freely. It's something that's sought after and God gives when you have reached his conditions. And yet when I look around to all of us, when I think, do we really look cheerful? Now, I understand. Everybody just ate a big breakfast. A lot of you look sleepy. That's what you look like. But what does it mean to really be cheerful? What does it mean to be able to have a smile on your face and a song in your heart no matter what you face? Well, I'll tell you how. How is it that you can be happy no matter what? Well, here's how. Because the one that came and was born and that we celebrate the birth of this Christmas, he is your Redeemer. He is the one that paid the price that you were supposed to pay. And in all aspects of your life, whatever struggle you're going through, he said, I have overcome the world. Where are these tests and trials and temptations coming from? They're coming from the world. And so whatever you're facing, Christ has already overcome that. I saw these things on Facebook not long ago, and how it just sticks in my mind. It says, don't worry about the storms because your lifeguard walks on water. And I think about other aspects of my life when the scripture talks about being brought through the fire. Listen, my God can't just walk through fire. He overcame the flames of hell. I want you to know, every time I'm climbing a mountain, I don't have to worry about getting tired or getting lost, because the mountain that I'm climbing was built by his own hands. I have nothing to fear. I have no reason to be anything but happy and cheerful and joyous because why? I have peace that only He can give. And in the midst of every trial, in everything I'm going through, He has already been there before. What a joy it is to know that whatever I'm going through, He's already been through and overcame Himself. Well then, I told you I wasn't going to be long today. I'm just about done. This song that kept coming to my mind, it's the most wonderful time of the year. I started to sing it and it really got on. You ever get something, I think some people call them like an earworm. You just get a song stuck in your head and you can't get rid of it. And you just don't realize it and you're kind of humming it and you're whistling it. And people are like, what are you singing? It's the most wonderful time of the year. They're like, oh, I know. Don't you just love Christmas? I mean, all the lights and the trees and the time with family and cooking cookies with your grandma and going out and getting to see things and opening presents and giving presents and hearing the music and sitting by the fireplace and enjoying ones you love. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you something about the joy all those things can bring you. They're temporary. And I don't mean just that they're non-eternal. I mean they don't far outlast the month of December. And then it's over. But the joy and the cheer that Christ is talking about is something that comes from the heavens and it lasts from everlasting to everlasting. When you have that joy, when you have that peace, when you have that cheerfulness, it's not something that comes and goes with the seasons. It's not something that somebody has to spark up a fire or play a song for you to feel it. It's something that when you're in the worst of battles, when you're in the lowest of valleys, when you feel like you have nothing left to offer, when you are at your lowest point, it's that subtle song of grace that sings in your soul. It's that feeling of peace when you feel your life's out of control. It is something that far exceeds just a season or a holiday. It is something that ignites us every single day of the year. So then, it is the most wonderful time of the year. But not because of Christmas trees, not because of Santa Claus, not because of cookies or songs or lights. It's the most wonderful time of the year because your Redeemer has come to be born of a virgin. That He might live a sinless life, that He might grow and fulfill the law of God, that He might go as a lamb slain, that He might live and be that perfect sacrifice for you, that He would die on a cross, but thank God on the third day He rose again, overcoming death, hell, and the grave, and now He sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for you and for me. He paid the price, and that's why it's the most wonderful time of the year. He is the reason that I have peace. He is the reason that I'm able to be cheerful. It's because of what He's done and nothing that I can do. That's my message today. Brother Devin, if you could get a verse of some song and allow a moment of time for these things to sink into our hearts.